Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. We have the woman speaking in verse 6. This is the wife who's the speaker. You remember last week, in the first 5 verses, it was the husband who was the speaker, and the husband was complimenting his young wife. And we said last week that this is a picture of Christ and his church. The Lord Jesus here, I believe, is complimenting his church and encouraging his church. In verse 6, then, the speaker changes. It's the other way round, as it were. The young woman starts to speak to her husband, and it's just like us speaking to the Lord. Okay, it's just like the church responding to Christ. You know, I've already said that in the first 5 verses, the Savior's extolling the church. And in verse 6, it's just as if the church is saying, I can't take it anymore. I don't deserve this praise. You know what it's like sometimes that you have to go and lie down in a dark room? Well, it's almost as if the church says that here. And it's almost as if this young woman says it. I've just got to get away from all this praise because honestly, I don't deserve it. I'm unworthy of it. And sure, that's the way we feel as Christians, isn't it? Whenever the Lord says anything good about us, you know, in our hearts we say, Lord, how can you say that about the likes of me? How could you possibly have anything positive to say about me? But yet the Lord has, and it's nothing to do with us and our holiness and goodness. The Lord looks at us and he sees absolutely nothing good in us. There is none good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. It says that the whole world is under sin. But it's because the Lord Jesus Christ has washed us in his blood. It's because he has given us the robe of righteousness. He's given us the garments of salvation, and therefore he sees beauty on us. That's why he praises us. Okay, it's because of his grace. It's all of grace. It's totally, utterly, 100% to do with what he has done for us. So I want us to think about verse 6 tonight, the response of the church to Christ. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. I want you to notice first of all that the young lady, she speaks first of all about the morning. She talks about the morning. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. I wonder, have you ever been tossing and turning on your bed at night and you just say, I wish it was morning? Whenever you can't sleep. Well, I've been there and got the t-shirt quite a few nights. And you're tossing and turning. And, you know, sleep, it just seems to have left you. And you just say, Lord, I wish it was the morning time. I'd get up and I'd get on with work and do something. Instead of lying here wrestling with a crocodile. But anyway, here we have this young woman. And she's longing for the morning. She can't wait for the morning. You know, that's a wee bit like the Church of Jesus Christ today. You see, we're longing for the morning. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Brothers and sisters, tonight, even though you're going through the mill and you're going through hard times and you're bearing a heavy burden, always remember that it'll pass, that the morning will come, the daybreak will come. See, the young woman here, this young wife, she says, until the daybreak. It's just as if she says, sooner or later the day is going to break, sooner or later the dawn will come. And you know the old chorus, the old song, it's always darkest before the dawn. Okay, so if you're in a really dark place tonight, remember that the dawn's just about to come. All right? Until the day break and the shadows flee away. Aye, she's longing for The morning. We're longing for the morning whenever Jesus will take us home. Isn't that right? We're longing for the morning whenever the Lord Jesus will come for us. Whenever he'll take us away out of this old world that hates God and hates those who love the Lord. We're longing for that morning when the rapture will take place and the Lord will just take us away from it all. We're living in the night. It's night time now in this world, spiritually speaking. I know it's night time now, it's 8:15 tonight. But as far as spiritual things are concerned, we're living in the night. We're going through the night time. The darkness is all around us. Just ask the Asher's Bakery tonight about the darkness. Now, how under the sun that verdict was given on Tuesday, I'll never know. I mean, how can a judge rule in favour of something that's illegal? I mean, what was on the cake or what they wanted on the cake was illegal. Support gay marriage. Well, you know, gay marriage is illegal in this country. I know it's legal in a lot of other countries, sad to say, but it's still illegal here. And now how the judge decided that she would favour the person who wanted something that was illegal and was trying to promote something that was illegal, I'll never know. Very, very strange verdict, but I suppose you just say that there's a sinister agenda at work here. There's something sinister under the surface. So the Asher's Bakery, you wouldn't have to ask them twice whether they think we're living in the nighttime. Aye, it's the nighttime, it's the darkness. The powers of darkness seem to be in control. And there's the darkness of sin and immorality and rebellion against God. It's everywhere. But God's still on the throne. I want you to remember that tonight as we get down to prayer. That judge on Tuesday didn't knock the Lord off his throne. He's still there, and you know, nobody will ever knock him off the throne. He'll always be there. And I suppose tomorrow we need to remember and we need to pray tonight for the situation down in the south of Ireland. For there's the referendum tomorrow about the same-sex marriage down there. And, you know, it'll be just a case of getting one foot in through the door. And then you can rest assured that they'll go all out to bring it in up here. So we need to pray about that because the darkness is down south too. And the darkness is everywhere. It just seems that the enemy has come in like a flood, as the prophet Isaiah spoke about. The enemy has come in like a flood, but thank God the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So, we're looking for the morning, and the morning's going to come when all these things will pass away. Fanny Crosby penned the words, "On that bright and golden morning when the Son of Man shall come, and the radiance of his glory we shall see, when from every clime and nation he shall call his people home. What a gathering of the ransomed that will be. What a gathering, what a gathering, what a gathering of the ransomed in the summer land of love. What a gathering of the ransomed in that happy home above." My, what a morning that'll be. So the young woman here, she talks about the morning. But she talks also about the mountain. I want you to notice that. She talks about the mountain. "I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." We've already said that she felt unworthy of all the praise that was being heaped upon her. And she says, "I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." Now we could go in tonight to all about the myrrh and the frankincense, but I don't think we'll have time to do that tonight, but let me just say that the mountain here is a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, you think about a mountain for a moment or two. Think about the height of a mountain, the height of the mountain. The mountain towers above everything else. The mountain towers above the surrounding landscape. Well, you know, tonight the Lord Jesus has lifted us up high, hasn't he? The Lord Jesus has raised us up, and the book of Ephesians tells us that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. He's in the glory tonight. He's looking down on the world and all the rebellion. And you know, in a spiritual sense, we're with him. We're seated with him. We're in the place of triumph tonight. And we're like the mountain. We're up high. We're up high because His grace has exalted us. His wonderful, marvelous, saving grace. Oh, the height of a mountain. We're up high tonight. Now, I know that there's a lot of people today look at Christians and they think that they're the lowest of the low. Sure, more and more in our wee country, Christians are looked upon as the lowest of the low. Back again to the Isher's Bakery. Despised, hated. My, even since the verdict on Tuesday, you wouldn't believe the venom and the hatred that has been spewed out against the Ishers and against anyone who would dare to support them. And as far as a lot of people in the world and in our country even today are concerned, we're the lowest of the low. But not as far as the Lord is concerned. Oh, we're the highest of the high to Him. We're up high with Him. And you see, tonight not only are we like the mountain because of the height of the mountain, the church tonight is like the mountain because it's immovable. It'll not be moved. It can't be moved. Now, you go to the nearest mountain and you try to move it, you'll have difficulty. You see, mountains can't be moved. And that's like the church of Jesus Christ. That's like us as believers tonight. The old song goes, what's it? We shall not be moved. That's true of the church tonight. Are you rejoicing in that fact tonight? Are you encouraged by that? We're not going to be moved. I know that the devil huffs and puffs and tries to persecute and assail the church of Jesus Christ, but he's going to fail miserably because the church can't be moved. Psalm 125 verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. We're immovable tonight. We shall not be moved. You see, the Lord Jesus tells us in His word that we're graven upon the palms of His hands. Our names, according to the prophet Isaiah, are etched, engraved on the palms of His hands. And they're not going to be moved. They'll never be removed from the palms of His hands. He'll never forget His people. Oh, I know there are times we forget Him, but He never forgets us. And you see, the Bible also tells us that we are not only upon His hands, but we are upon His heart. We are upon the heart of the Savior. Remember the high priest. The high priest wore the breastplate. And all 12 tribes of Israel were on the breastplate. And where was the breastplate? Well, it was on the breast. It covered the heart. Well, our great high priest in heaven tonight, all His tribes, all His people are on His heart. All His children are precious to Him. They're just like the jewels. Malachi speaks about the Lord. When the Lord returns, he says, it'll be like coming to collect His jewels, coming to gather His jewels. We're jewels to the Lord tonight. You mightn't feel very valuable, but you are valuable to the Savior because you're bought with His precious blood. We leave it there for tonight. I want to finish early. Last week we went over the time, so let's not make that same mistake tonight. And we'll turn, please, to hymn number 231. Number 231. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.